Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is DT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside thought and purpose. So David, welcome back.
Thanks, man.
It feels like it's been a while since we've been in here, but I guess we were in here like a week or two ago. Yeah. So yeah, it's good. So in this particular episode, you started off with a verse from Proverbs 4:20.
Yeah.
And it was really simple. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Yeah. And I assume this was intentional to get us all thinking about how there's always room to raise the way we are hearing. You said we hear with our ears, but we listen with our heart, which I've heard before and I loved. So the question I have to start with here, heavy hitter, how do we know if we're merely hearing or if we're actually listening to the guidance being offered by the universe? Because those seemed like two very different things to me.
Yeah, it totally is. I think the answer is, do you feel like you want to do something about it? Do you feel like you want to change something? So like I was telling this story, I told this on a group of people that I'm coaching. And I said, you know, I smoked for a long time. And there were many times where I said I was going to quit. I was going to quit smoking. And I would literally make an attempt, like, you know, a valiant attempt to quit and not quit. And I'll bet you, oh, it was a lot. I would say it's probably like 10 times I tried to quit over all the years that I smoked. But here was the thing. I kept thinking to myself, why is it that I'm having such a hell of a time doing this? And the problem was I liked it.
Sure.
I liked it. I liked smoking. There wasn't much about it that I didn't like. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into that. I liked it. That's the point. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to quit until I really want to quit. Until I really want to quit. I was quitting because other people wanted me to quit. Yes, it's not good for your health. Yes, it causes cancer, blah, 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 like all that stuff. But I was enjoying it. Like
if it's free will.
Well, yeah. Like if it didn't cause cancer, I wouldn't have wanted to quit. Right. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So I was like, okay, I need to change the way that I'm approaching this because if I don't, I'm not going to quit and then that won't be good, you know? So I was like, I need to find a way to get myself where I have the desire, like I can feel it in me that I want to do this. I mean, and everybody knows what that's like. We all have things that we want to do, and you could feel like you really have a desire to do it. I was just trying to quit because it was the right thing to do. So I really worked on getting my desire to the place where I wanted to quit. And then I set a date that I was going to do it, and I haven't picked up a cigarette since. And I have no desire to pick up a cigarette. So if you do this correctly, if you're coming from your desire, you'll know that you're hearing, whether it's internally, externally, you're hearing with your heart, you're hearing with your emotions, because it causes you to want to do something. If it's just ears, it's in one ear and out the other. It's like, oh, it's words on a page, you know. Oh, that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting philosophy. But you're not linking it up to something that would cause you to feel differently. And that's where the emotional aspect comes in. Because if I can feel differently about it, I want to change. I'll tell you, another time I had, well, this is life-changing, actually, this experience. I had been studying self-improvement for about 3 years. All kinds of books. Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, all kinds of biographies, lots of as much as I could get myself through. Like I studied every day, hours every day. And I had not, even though I was excited about it, there was a piece that was missing. Unbeknownst to me at the time, the piece that was missing was actually kind of preventing me from seeing what my purpose was, what I really wanted to do. So anybody that's heard me tell this story, I was constantly trying to figure out what kind of business do I want to start? Maybe I want to start a hot dog stand or a restaurant. I had an idea for, and this is way back in the early 90s, I had an idea for doing mobile salad stations in
like business parks, like, and like a big open area.
Yeah, in Chicago, like down in the Loop, right?
Sure.
It was interesting because it you know, today we have health food stuff all over the place, but then we didn't, you know. Right. And somebody laughed at me. Somebody in my family laughed at me and said that was the stupidest thing. And now they have them, right? Now they have, sure, like, you know, the, what is it, like the Green Shop or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
All kinds of places. But everything that I thought about, it wasn't resonating with me. Like, I was like, okay, that'd be cool. That'd be fun. But I didn't feel like, where's this passion to be like, yes, this is the thing, right? When I heard Bob Proctor, that changed that. From the day that I put his cassette tapes on in the car, I'll never forget where I was. I was on 90. I was coming home from Lamont, Illinois. I was driving up to Rockford and literally brought tears to my eyes. I'm like, this is the guy. Like, I don't know who he is, where he come, like what his deal is, but the person that's got the answers for me that I've been looking for, I just found him. That's the guy. And that was like, I was glued. I could not get enough. I was like thirsty in a dry land type of an individual. And when I heard him talking, that was it. He was hitting me emotionally. It wasn't like it was just going in, yeah, there's potential, I see, that's cool, whatever. Like, it totally changed how I was processing on the inside.
Well, that was the tuning fork, right?
That was like the tuning fork.
That was the crystal on the chandelier.
It was the crystal on the chandelier.
Yeah, you hit the right note and boom, that thing sings like none other. So you can probably remember exactly where you were, yep, on the interstate at that moment.
Barrington exit.
And to be moved to tears.
Yeah, moved to tears.
That's when you know you're on
purpose. I pulled over and cried on the side of the road.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had been looking my whole life, T, for somebody to explain this religion thing, right? Now we say spirit, but I was raised Catholic, so religion. I was trying to desperately understand, how does God, in whatever form you think of it, fit into this puzzle of success and life and death and marriage? And like, how does this work? How does this fit? There's something to it. Like, we have these religions. People die for these damn religions. They seem to be cornerstone teachings in so many people's lives all around the world. We honor success to some degree. There's good and bad in both. We see that. People's lives, it's like we have this inspiration as a child to live this romantic life of some kind. Get married, have kids, blah, 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 do the whole thing, whatever that is. And then yet so many people aren't. So I'm like, how does this work? And nobody had any answers. In 30 minutes, this guy was answering questions that I had my whole life, and he was doing it in a way where it made complete sense. Like, all of a sudden, all the pieces, like ching, 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 it just like all fell in together.
Like 30 years and 30 minutes. Like, it just totally cleared everything 100%. Up in that, yes, moment.
It was,
that's
astounding.
Amazing. And what I love about that story most impactfully to me is that it didn't come from anywhere else but inside of you. You know what I mean? Like, right, it wasn't, somebody was telling you, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to quit smoking, you should do this. Like, we have tried to eliminate the word should from our house as much as possible. And I still catch myself saying it. But when somebody tells you, especially you, knowing who you are, and I've been around you for more than a decade, when we tell you you should do something, you have this rebellious streak in you that doesn't allow you to like immediately take it in, which I love about you, right? But this was something you came upon yourself, so much so that you pulled over on the side of the road and were brought to tears by what this man had said to you. And that was just another stepping stone onto this crazy journey that brings you here today.
Well, another interesting thing about the rebellious thing, so that comes from living with a mother that would never let me do anything, right? Everything she said was, everything I wanted, she said no to. So I would always want to do something and then she would say no and I would just get this enraged anger, like to push back. But the thing with this was that my mentor who worked with me, the guy that helped me get promoted in the company that I was working with and everything, he kind of took me under his wing and he was teaching me about business and life. He was trying to get me to listen to a pitch for a network marketing company. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I mean, I had all this judgment around it. I obviously didn't know what it was because I had all this judgment, like, this is stupid. I can't believe he's involved in this, blah, blah, blah. And it was probably for a period of about 3 months, I just kept shooting him down and he wouldn't stop. So I remember I had a conversation with my wife at the time. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go to dinner with him and listen to it. Like, he's done so much for me. I just want to show him some respect and let him do this. Like, I'm not going to join or anything, whatever. But it was at that dinner that he said to me, I know you're into the self-improvement thing. Have you ever heard of this guy? And he pulls out two cassette tapes that said Bob Proctor Live in Orlando. And it was a recording of this. He was hired to speak for this company in Orlando. And I'm like, never heard of him, dude. Never, have no idea who this guy is. Well, listen to him. Maybe you'll like. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I will. I'll listen to it. And I got in the car and immediately turned the radio on. I wasn't even going to listen to it. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. I'll see what this guy has to say, right? And I put it in. That was it.
Wow.
That was it.
That's crazy, because had you not, the universe was obviously putting this gentleman in front of you for a reason. You thought it was for one thing, which it may have been, but it actually turned out to be something completely different. And it sort of deflected and skipped you off into this crazy direction where you find yourself today. And it's very easy. Like, I got roped into an MLM conversation with a gentleman when I was in college, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And then afterwards I felt like used and dirty, and oh my God, I can't believe what just happened.
It was a cheap motel.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, had I not taken that, I wouldn't have known. Maybe I was there to get a lesson in how life works, or maybe I was there to get a tape or something along those lines. It's so interesting how the universe will give you the opportunities, but if you preconceive in your mind that it's bad, or no, I don't want to give up the time, or I'm too tired, the universe is trying to provide and you're pushing it away.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
I don't think I've ever heard you tell that story, to be honest with you. And I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
But it's escaping me.
Yeah. No, I've told it.
I think that in itself.
You mean talking about listening to the cassettes?
Yeah. Not about the cassettes, but how you came to be getting those cassettes from a meeting that you kept pushing off. And then you finally go, and it's not the MLM piece that you take away from it, but it's this gift of Bob Proctor that landed in your lap.
Right.
I think that's so cool.
It was. And it's also so indicative of the universe is constantly trying to get you what you want. And we're so goddamn stubborn that we're so shut off to everything, because of course we immediately know what everything is, and we're just going to like block it away. And I couldn't have been more ignorant or arrogant, you know, it was something I vowed not to do, you know, and I just, like, I knew what this was. It was being scammed. It was this need to be right, this need to appear intelligent.
It's just a default modality of thinking. Like, immaturity, most of us default to that. I know that I get inside my head, I want it to happen a certain way, and if it doesn't happen that way, then it's not anything I want to entertain, which is really interesting, because I can think back on a lot of experiences where, you know, I could have gone a very different direction, and maybe it would have been for the better, maybe it would have been for the worse, but I was so set that it had to come in one way that I was probably just pushing until, you know, we came to know more about you and your teachings that really helped me clear that up. So,
you get fixated on things and can't let them go.
Oh my God, like, totally.
It has to happen. I mean, eventually, you're so much better at it now than you used to be.
Yes.
But
very. I mean, the amount of therapy I've done around over control and understanding how to deal with certain things and being able to just roll with it has really helped me over the course of the last 3 years. But I will say, even to this day, if you're not mindful, if you're not paying attention in the moment, my default is still very high to need to be right, make the others wrong, you know, don't be embarrassed. Like, all these other sorts of things come up, and then I get triggered, and then it goes down this rabbit hole. The good thing is that my apology refraction period is a lot less. It used to be 3 or 4 or 5 days. Now it's 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Like, I know when I've messed up and I can go and deal with it. But you're right. It's like my way of thinking is very much, I have a strong need to be right, and I think that gets me into trouble, but at least I'm aware of it, which sometimes I think sucks in a way, because awareness is challenging to deal with. I used to say this really early on when I was going through my therapy year and all this thing, and I was thinking to myself, like, sometimes I just wish I was ignorant, which is an ignorant statement in itself, right? Sometimes I just wish I didn't know as much as I know, because it's uncomfortable. But that was the moment where I'm like, whoa, that's exactly why this is uncomfortable. Yeah. You need to deal with it. You pulled me aside like 8 years ago and said, dude, I really barely knew you at the time. And you're like, you need to do something about what this is, or you're going to lose everything. And I never forgot that.
I remember where we were sitting. I remember I was in this chair. You were in this chair, Aaron and Steph. Like, I remember
the whole thing. And it was a shock to me. I was like, you know what? He's right. And then, of course, I didn't do anything. Just like, you know, make a change. You know, oh, I'm going to do it right now. No, I was like, oh, yeah, I got this.
But it was a seed. It was a seed.
It was a seed that
planted.
Correct. You know? It needed to be sowed. It needed to be harvested. And it's still going to be something I deal with the rest of my life. So I think that's really cool. But I love that story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You said on the pod, any desire is good. Can you just say a little bit more about that? Because I know there's some desires in life that could skew a little bit maybe bad, but any desire is good because at least then you're tuned into your feeling. Just talk a little bit more about that.
Well, a desire is giving you, it's an internal representation of a direction. So it is spirit or your higher self trying to communicate to you, to move you in the direction of your life. We confuse it with wants. We confuse it with wants. We confuse it with needs. We confuse it with impulsivity. But a true desire is something that you really want, and it doesn't go away, right? Even if it's something small, like, I want a new pair of shoes or a car, whatever. It lingers. It's there. It's constantly nudging you from the inside. Very often, it doesn't make any sense. We'll justify it in our mind. But the thing is that it's not about the thing. It's not about, oh, I have a desire to get this book. It's not about the thing. It's what you realize in the process of acknowledging the desire, setting a goal or a movement to attain that desire, and then when you get it, what did you actually go through to do it? So that's where in the podcast I was saying, let's go to Proverbs here. My son, attend to my words. In other words, pay really attention to what I'm saying. Incline thine ears to what I'm saying. So really hear what it is that I'm saying, not just you just want this car, you want those shoes. What is this really about? And if it's a desire in a negative way, which I think you're kind of asking that,
yeah,
like, is that
correct.
Too?
Right.
It is attempting to show you something about yourself that you need to pay attention to, that you need to wake up to, that you possibly need to change. Like, if I have a desire to be vindictive, or if somebody does something and I can't let it go and I'm like, that bastard, and it's just running around in my mind, and I have a desire to just lash out and send an email or do something nasty to this person, that's also leading me in a direction. What is that really saying about my thought process or what's actually going on? Because it has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with, what am I supposed to wake up to? What am I supposed to become aware of inside of myself in order to affiliate change in my life?
Sure. Sure. No, that's great. And I love how you draw the very clear distinction between desires and wants and impulsivities. That's very powerful. I'm sure the listeners got a lot out of
that. It gets confusing sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
But I think it's also about getting to know yourself. Is this really a desire or is this just a want? Well, if it's gone tomorrow, it's probably just a want.
Right.
You know, is it out of fear? Is it because I'm afraid I'm not going to get it or lose something? It almost is, especially when you first start to do it, there's this unexplainable quality to it. I want this. I'm really lit up about it. Not really sure why, but I want it. It's then we start to logically go, well, it's because it's red or it's because the neighbors are like, but it there is a part about it that is not completely rational. And that's where it kind of gets people mixed up, because it's like, well, it just really doesn't make sense right now, or the price, or like, can I justify?
Yeah.
Can I justify this? Right. There's a higher purpose to it.
Sure. Yeah. And it lingers. Like you said, it's like a burr in your, burr in your shoe, you know, you feel it the whole time and it's not going away. Even though you attempt to go in myriad of different directions, it's still always there. That's so interesting. I'm thinking off the top of my head, some of the desires I have in my mind that I try to justify as just, oh, they're just wants and I'll get there when I get there, but they're clear desires.
Yeah.
Well, during the episode as well, you asked the listeners, you know, to even pause if they didn't know, you asked them a very simple question. What do you really want? And that is a question that runs through my head all the time. It runs through Steph's head. I'm sure it goes through your head. Like, what do I want right now? Bringing in what you see as your magnificent obsession and removing judgment. Those were your words. Can you explain what is meant again? Because we heard this a lot in this episode and you've said it many times. What is meant by magnificent obsession and why it's so important when bringing in what you want into your life?
So most people associate an obsession with something that's probably not healthy.
Right. It's like, it's when I hear obsession, I automatically default to like a negative connotation.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that if you look at people that kind of have, let's say, a purpose-driven life, which was a great book that came out a long time ago, but the idea of I'm living my life on purpose, I'm basically obsessed with being healthy, treating my body well, building a business, putting my family first, like obsessed with the achievement of a well-rounded, successful life. In order to do that, you have to be obsessed with it, right? It has to be first and foremost in your thinking process, the planning of your day, the planning of your life, what you're going to noticeably sacrifice, which is letting go of something of a lower nature to gain something of a higher nature, in order to go through the process of creating this life that you want for yourself. If you're not obsessed with it, it's a fleeting thought, or it's a want sometimes, or it's a want when it's convenient, or as long as it's not going to cause me, you know, too much pain or whatever. So the idea is, if you can become magnificently obsessed with something, then it's all about it is positive. It's all positive connotations. It's a positive intention. But it keeps you locked into the thought process of that kind of achievement. And, you know, even though on the grand scale of things, our life is relatively short, it's a long period of time, your life, for the most part. And if you're going to have consistent good outcomes in your life, then you have to maintain a direction consistently in order to do that, right? Because it's always a cause set in motion. So if I stop doing something, that will eventually turn into a habit. And if it's not a good one, that will eventually have a bad outcome. So I have to be obsessed with the good things, the right things, the things that are going to create the outcomes I want over the long period of time. And without that obsession, it's not going
to
happen.
Would you agree? Clearly it's okay to make mistakes. I mean, that's what you're going to do.
Like all the way.
The magnificent obsession you might have right now, let's say you go towards that and you get to a place, and then after a little bit of time, it becomes familiar. You start to fall out of love with it. And then maybe you could judge yourself for that. But at the same time, it's like, maybe there was a small piece of that that's still a part of the obsession, just not this very thing you thought. I mean, there's going to be mistakes here, right?
100%.
Yeah.
I think most people associate the idea with mistakes as to whether they're a good person or a bad person, or they're a right person or a wrong person. The absolute truth is, for children and adults, we learn by the mistakes that we make. We don't learn by getting everything perfect, right? The human being is about awareness. We become more and more aware of who we really are, of why we're really here, of the depth of our own character, what we want to do, also about the things that are not great about us, right? Unless we make mistakes, we don't become aware of those things. So the idea is that life is a well-rounded, full experience with there's times where it's painful. There's times where we screw up. There's times where we make mistakes either out of our own stubbornness to change or our own ignorance, right? If we get rid of the judgment, then the mistakes become okay. And we learn from them. So we don't feel bad if we screw something up. We're like, you know something? I own that. I really blew it there. And I got to find out why I did that. And now I have to do something to change that, because I went into a place of self-ignorance in that moment and I made a mistake. Or I just screwed it up. I didn't, you know, it wasn't intentional, but it was a mistake.
Sure, absolutely. A couple things in that. And I feel like you're reading my notes. So this is amazing how this is just laying out before me perfectly. You talked in the podcast about the amount of derogatory judgments that center around the struggle of life. Like when a person's working to become who he or she wants to become. And you even said mistakes are a process of growth, which I love, but it's hard to hear because I'm a self-proclaimed perfectionist. I've gotten a lot better at being non-perfectionist, but still quite there.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to pivot a little bit towards society in general at the moment. There seems to be a desire for people just waiting in the wings to see someone mess up and then pile on. Like, we love a rise, but we equally love the fall. I feel like this isn't new. It's probably been here for decades and decades and decades, since the dawn of time, I'm sure. But it seems to have gotten progressively worse, especially as it stands now in my eyes. So Why do you think this shift to the negative from that standpoint has taken place? And what can a person do to maybe drag themselves out of that line of thinking? Because it's very easy to get sucked into other people's drama.
Yeah. This is a really good question. And I've given a lot of thought to this over the years. I think that the way most of us are raised, we see the holes in the information that we're given about life and the way things should be in life and how we manage our life. And in those holes are huge inconsistencies in value structures, in ethics, in religion, in right and wrong. And I think it causes a tremendous amount of uncertainty going on inside of an individual. So we're also raised with this idea that you have to live a certain way to be a good person. And even though consciously many of us realize that that's complete bullshit, when we see the inconsistencies in ourselves, it triggers this idea that we're not necessarily a good person. But if I can see that in you before I see it in me, then I don't have to deal with my own problem. I don't have to deal with my own insecurities inconsistencies. So it's easier to point out something wrong with somebody else than to be able to look at my own life. The other thing is personal responsibility, right? I don't think we live in a time, and I it's hard to say because it's, you have to look back at history, but then you have to question who actually wrote and recorded history. Sure. The idea that we live in a time where almost everything that happens is instantaneously known all over, literally does not give us the ability to process and think through a reaction time before the next thing happens and the next thing happens and the next thing happens. I think that that creates fear in people. If you look back in history, the time that it took for something to happen and when you found out about it versus when you reacted to it or had the ability to react to it, even in a public way, was a tremendous amount of time.
Right.
Plus the amount of information that you received was controlled in a very big way. When we feel out of control, we get neurotic about it because we don't know what to do to actually have a feeling of being grounded and have that feeling of control back again. So I think that that causes people to react. I think it causes them to react in a very bad way. I had said before the COVID thing happened, and I had been saying this for years, if we ever experience anything on a mass scale that literally shakes up the illusion of what we believe that keeps us safe, we're going to see craziness in the streets. Now, I couldn't imagine what that would actually be. I mean, we saw it a little bit with like 9/11. It really shook people's certainty. But the leadership afterwards was pretty, like the whole world kind of came together over,
right?
That
common
thing.
Enemy.
Yeah, common enemy.
Yeah.
So I think that we kind of dodged a bullet on that one. But with COVID and then the subsequent things that are happening afterwards, everything that we thought about life and how it actually is, we found out that it's not necessarily true. Like, things can go bad in a big way and they can happen really fast. The amount of insecurity and uncertainty and doubt and worry and fear that engages in someone is tremendous. And here's the problem. If you don't know how to think based on what's happening, what do you turn to feel safe? And then you have to deal with that every single day. So I think that's why we're seeing what we see. People don't know what to do. They don't know what to turn to. They don't know what to believe anymore. And whatever form of leadership that we're seeing out there, which is not a whole hell of a lot, is changing what it says to be true almost on a daily basis.
Sure.
It's not good. I mean,
no.
It's not good for humanity. Something needs to change to give people a foundation again to really go so that they I want to say feel safe. I don't even know if it's that so much that
I think for me personally, it boils down to the amount of despair in the world versus shifting it to the amount of hope there is in the world. I feel like, And who knows what's going to happen with the upcoming elections and the subsequent, you know, years that happen, and this disease runs its course and we all come to an agreement around the Black Lives Matter movement and all these other sorts of things. I feel like there's a lot of hopelessness around this, and I feel like people are, like, you're right, the dissemination of information is way too fast and our brains can't handle it. And so what we do is we automatically default to this really negative way of looking at things. And this week, in fact, I felt like genuine fear at times. I've been doing a digital detox. I've been staying off the socials. I don't really watch the news. I'm not really informed. So that's just who I am right now, because it worms its way into my head.
Well, it's not bad because it's not good.
And this way, I totally don't know. Like, if you were to tell me something, I'd be like, I did not hear that, because I've really been like zero tolerance around anything. But man, I had this feeling. I think I'm empathic in a way where I feel like something's not right.
Yeah.
But damn, I was like, I was afraid. I'm afraid for where we're going. And we're like the best country in the world, yet we're on the outside looking in. It's shambles right now.
It is. And here's the thing about the hopelessness thing. And this is what I was trying to get to. I'm having trouble forming my words around this. What is the hope based in? Right? When somebody has hope, it's based in something. It's based on something. And so many things that we were taught that are true, that were never true to begin with, but we were taught they were true, so we got to live in the illusion of it, have been eradicated from our mind. We also have, you know, this is where I'm kind of having a realization about something that we're actually seeing play out. The right, wrong, or indifferent, we had foundational value systems all around the world that really kept us in check. Most of those value systems were based in religion. As religion goes away, or it transforms, because it's not like what it used to be, the idea is then, well, what are our values based in?
Sure.
If they're not based in religion, what are they based in? Why is it important to be a good person? Why is it important to be successful? Why is it important to have a value structure that not only treats me well, but treats you well? We have been experiencing the rapid decay of values all over the world, and it's actually now flipped. It's actually flipped. So we have situations where we're taking things that keep the entire structure of how we operate as a society, and we're saying get rid of it, like the police, like the defunding of the police. Of course, there's problems with it, but when you start to take that and flip it over, and then chaos is out there and it's being valued by certain people, they're saying this is a good thing in a way, we've got a big problem, because where do you get to the core value of correcting it, right? If this becomes good, if rioting in the streets, killing people, murdering people, raping people, if this becomes a good thing and it's seen by a lot of people as good, where's the value system that corrects it, that says this is wrong? This is wrong. We have problems, but this is not how we handle our problems. And I think that in a major way, we're seeing something that we've never seen before by a whole group of people saying this is actually right. Now, it's not that it hasn't happened in history. I'm just saying that most of the people live today have never seen this happen
right
before. We've seen this happen with other countries. You see it with Hitler,
yes,
right? I mean, Hitler is a perfect example of a value system gone fucking haywire, and then everybody buying into that value system. But in the process, look at how many people died, right, because of that. And it took other countries and other people holding their head up and saying and condemning it and saying this is wrong in order to change that behavior. And we're not seeing that yet. We're not there yet in the United States. A lot of cities are in real trouble out there, and the leadership is allowing it to happen. And that, I condemn it. I don't care what people think. I think it's completely wrong. We have ways to handle our problems in this world. It may not be perfect, but it is much better than what it is that we're currently doing, because it's just, you can't do that. That it is eroding the entire value system of what we know to be good, right, and decent in the world.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think that's really impactful. We like to be timely in our information here on this show. And I think it all stems from, you know, we all want to have that successful mind. And I think that piece, when we bring it in, when we're dealing with these difficult conversations, we're not avoiding them. We want to make sure we have these conversations, but we definitely are aware that there's a better way. And we're going to work together on this show to continue to put out good information for people so that they know that there's a lot of hope. There's an opportunity for you to grow in your own mindset, and that coming together will win out over any of the other craziness that might follow. So
that's the idea.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for coming inside, Dave.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.